My grandma and your grandma were sitting by the fire. My grandma told your grandma, I'm gonna set your flag on fire. You're talking about here now, here now. Aiko, aiko, ande. Giacomo, fino, anane.
Ding dong, Los Culturistas calling. Hello, everybody. We are back with another episode. It's been a bit of a hiatus.
You know what? We took a little bit of a hiatus, not because we didn't love you and didn't want to come back, Candy. We just couldn't get our schedules lining up. By the way, I'm Matt Rogers.
I'm Bowen Yang. Guys, full disclosure.
This is the Los Culturistas podcast. You know where you are.
Full disclosure. We're a little bit buzzed. Matt's eating some street meat out of a tin tray.
Can I tell you? I'm a little bit buzzed. We just had a show at UCB. It's Popperlet's Amazing Earth, and I would love to plug it.
Please plug it, yeah.
I would love to say October 14th, we have another show, you guys. And, you know, the houses have been good, but I think they could be a little bit better. And I really want you guys to come see the show. Bowen and I are both in it.
Mm-hmm.
Popperlet, it's so fun. Please come see it. Anyway, I had two glasses of Sauvignon Blanc at the theater.
I had one, but like... For me,
yes, honey.
For me, I had I lack the alcohol dehydrogenase that you have,
of course, culturally,
and so I can't metabolize alcohol in the same way. So I'm a lightweight. But here I am drinking some gorgeous,
but you
Bogle Vineyard.
Our
Merlot.
Producer Joe has bought us a fucking bottle of red wine, so we're on our way today. And truly, I don't think we could have a better guest to join us tonight.
This is huge.
Can I tell you how excited I am about this?
I'm so excited.
And like, this has been, it's exciting for me to even be his friend.
Same. That's how I feel. And then when we found out that he was a listener and he was a fan and he would text us every week and say he just listened to the episode and enjoyed it, I
died.
It was such a life of, it's always a life affirming moment for me.
Anyway, I mean, let's list the credits as if.
Here we go. He's on the legendary UCB weekend team, Grandma's Ashes.
Yes, absolutely. The host of Gentrify every week at UCB East on Fridays. You've seen him on Broad City and Girls. And this is probably the biggest one.
Huge.
He is in writer-director Chris Kelly's new feature film, Other People, which is just getting amazing reviews. And
huge
I'm
reviews.
So excited to see
Hugely
it.
Positive.
I feel shitty that I haven't seen it yet. But I really, I'm so excited to see it. And I'm such a fan of Chris's. And
I'm such
and
a fan
guests.
Of our guests. Guys, yeah. Give it up. It's Brandon Scott
Jones.
Brandon
Scott Jones. It's
BSJ. Oh my God, thank you so much.
I'm so excited. This
guys,
is too good.
Oh, I'm so excited
how
to be here.
How are you?
I'm well. You know how I am. I'm nervous.
Well, the thing is,
this makes no sense.
I guess I'm nervous when I go on other podcasts too,
sure.
though, because it's a very specific vibe. It's a very specific flavor, I guess.
Yeah. It's also like, so here's the thing is that I think, and I'm going to say this right now, I think in terms of fan,
uh-huh.
I'm number one, baby.
I wouldn't dispute that.
Well, Janie Stolar.
We don't have like the correspondence that I think that we deserve, but at the same time, I've like messaged her. Or like when you had like your new logo come out, I think I like added her on Instagram.
Oh,
I was like,
God.
Look, to just see the new logo.
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, thank anyone for listening to this.
Thank you for listening.
Because I think we started the podcast and thinking like really that no one listened to us bullshit and talk, but like if you are listening and you do listen, we really appreciate it.
We really do appreciate it. Guys, rule number 285 of culture.
We appreciate our listeners, honey. We'll bring back the numbers and the merch. You know,
yes.
The numbers thing, like the number, this number, rule number, blah, 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 of culture, that's been an in and out thing.
But I have a master list, honey.
Do you?
Someday we'll release it to the public.
He said, I have a master list, and then someday. All right. So listen, this is a great episode of Los Culturistas because we love our guests. And, you know, we start every episode of Los Culturistas by asking, when did you decide that culture was for you, Brandon Scott Jones? Like as a young Brandon.
Yeah. Young Brandon.
Like what piqued your interest in culture? You were like, culture.
Culture. Yes. What movies, TV, books, what you name it.
Oh, my gosh.
I have a feeling it's going to be very similar to
I
me.
Love this.
Maybe.
I'm so excited.
It could be very similar. Let's see. All right. There's two things. One, I was a very unfun kid.
No.
I was not likable. No, I was fine. I was just a very serious, very like career-driven child like that wanted to be a professional athlete, and that did not pan out.
What sports?
Tennis.
Tennis.
Okay, yes. So tennis you've been into your whole life.
I've been, yes, since I was 4.
And you still mm-hmm. play every morning.
Well, most mornings.
Most
yeah,
mornings.
Exactly. Yeah,
that's
a couple. Yeah, like, it's great. So that's that. And so I think, like, when I would have culture, like, I was very into what adults liked.
Yes, and then, absolutely.
And then
did you practice with a lot of adults?
I was around them. Like, I took pride in being the one player that when we would go around to tournaments, like, my dad used to, like, commend me for this. I'm like, you focused on the wrong things. But he was like, you know, all the adults liked me. But I would. I would just, like, talk to them. I'd be like, Carol, how's it going?
It was because you were, like, respectful, or was it because you could talk to them on their level?
I thought it was because I could talk to them on their level.
Yeah.
Like, I remember vividly, like, ordering by myself at McDonald's and demanding that I do it, and then just, like, recognizing the, like, just, like, the frustration of the day in the eyes of the cashier.
And the candor.
I had a few women like that in my life. Like, my, I'm forgetting her name right now. That's insane. But an aunt on my dad's side. Like, there was like a distant.
Oh, sure.
Aunt. One time she said to me, I was like 12 years old. She goes, "You have a girlfriend?" And I said to her, "You know what? On and off." And she goes, "I get it." And I was like, "Yeah." And I looked her in the eyes and I knew we understood each other.
Yes. That's so funny.
She was like 58 years older than me.
Oh, no, right?
But I mean, I can sense that. Yeah.
On and off. You know how it is.
On and off.
Girl.
You know how it is. Woman.
Yeah. How's it going with you?
You know, my husband, he drinks. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I've noticed.
Wow. I'm just there, like, yeah. I'm not going to play dumb.
I know.
Do we feel like that's appropriate? Is what? That like?
Absolutely. Oh, I grew up in Long Island. Where did you grow up?
I grew up just north of Baltimore.
Yes.
In a town called Bel Air.
Bel Air. Yeah,
so. The Bel Air of the East Coast. Yes.
Well, I think David Sidorov's from around. Our friend David is from around Bel Air.
Oh, how interesting.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I wonder.
Was it WASPy?
It's like a mixture. Like, my family didn't have like a ton of like money. So I grew up in like, and they did fine. I mean, yeah. I don't want, Dad, if you're listening, I know you're a fan.
Love no. I get what you're saying, though.
You know what I'm saying. But like 5 minutes away was like some of my best friends' houses, and their houses were huge and gorgeous. Mm-hmm. And then even 10 minutes away was a neighborhood called Todd Lakes that housed like they were just such huge mansions. And in fact, at one point, Christina Applegate and Jonathan Scheck lived there.
Oh, my God.
I lived 10 minutes from Christina Applegate.
What were they doing living in Maryland?
Well, Jonathan Scheck was from there. He was from like that area. I think he was from Aberdeen or Havre de Grace, which is like where they, you know, like right around the corner.
And this is Christina Applegate post-Married with Children, but pre, like, Renaissance.
Anchorman. Yeah, this is pre-Anchorman. Yeah.
Yeah,
this
is, yeah, because this that explains is, a lot. Like, where the fuck does she go?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
She
like,
down.
She used to, like, go, apparently she used to go to this local movie theater, and, like, she would just, like, go during the day and watch movies. And, like, I would hear about this in high school and be like, oh, my God, what is happening? What are we doing here? We've got to go.
Someone intervene!
Someone intervene! I'm trapped in this jail.
Wow.
Christina Applegate is wandering her town, and no one's doing anything
no
about
one's helping her.
I know. There were like a strange amount of like there was a WB show that filmed like in our town that got canceled very quickly.
Wasn't Deadwood. No, not Deadwood.
Everwood.
No.
That WB show Deadwood.
Sorry, I get Deadwood and Everwood mixed up.
Oh,
sorry.
No, it wasn't Everwood. It was a show called, you might have to IMDb it because I'm going to get the name wrong, but I think it's either The Young Americans or The Real Americans.
Was it about
Kids in America?
No.
Was it about like, okay, there was a WB show which was, oh, never mind. That was called Jack and Bobby.
Oh my God, yes.
Remember Jack and Bobby?
Yes, I know.
It was like about
Jack
the young
Bobby.
The young JFK and Bobby when
yes.
they were young.
Wow, I was all in Logan Lerman and the older hot
one.
Oh
my God, that was Logan Lerman?
That was Logan Lerms.
Everyone was like, what the fuck is Logan Lerman?
I don't know any of these people.
Perks of Being a Wallflower, right?
Yeah, great book.
Oh, right. I never saw the movie.
Oh, I didn't either. I heard that What's-Her-Face was good in Emma Watson.
Sure. Yeah. The whole thing was, yeah.
Remember that book?
Yeah, I do love that book.
That book is a great book.
That book is great.
We should say, also, they've released new stills from Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, I know that you need more info. Yes.
I need more and more and more. I'm just not getting enough from them based on that. But also, Disney disappoints me every time.
Speaking of live-action Disney remakes, today they just announced that they are searching... For a fa Mulan.
But
see, I hate that this is getting buzz that it's like we're gonna find a Chinese actress.
Oh,
like
yeah.
We're gonna do it. We're gonna step up and do it. Like, yeah, that should be the norm. Like, that shouldn't be like a commended thing.
Yeah.
Like, of course you should find a Chinese actress. Yeah. But anyway, that's very exciting.
What do you mean that we're going to find a Chinese actress instead of like a Korean actress or a Japanese
instead
actress?
Instead of like Shailene
Woodley? Or like we're going to have Shailene Woodley. Yeah.
Absolutely, because that's the trend. And like,
what do you think that they're talking about?
I think they're addressing like the Ghost in the Shell, Scarlett Johansson stuff, where it's like.
Yeah. So they're saying, don't worry, we're not going to find a white person.
Exactly.
Okay, yeah. Well, that's still
which
not
is
enough.
Reassuring. Yeah. Which is reassuring, but also like, I hate that that's like, oh, here we are. We had like Disney has to make this kind of statement.
Oh yeah.
But anyway,
Kimiko Glenn from Orange is the New Black Chinese.
She's Kimiko is a Japanese name. I would assume okay. She's half Japanese.
Okay.
Which I would. It's not. You might as well go all the way. You know.
I agree with you.
You know what? Like go like
all the way
Chinese.
Asian,
full Chinese.
I mean, I would even be fine if it was just an Asian actress. Anyway,
just because yeah. You don't expect. The film industry to even cast an Asian actress.
Sure.
Like, that's exactly. How stupid it is. Like, we can't even expect Mulan to be Asian.
Yeah. Right?
But that's how dumb it is.
Are we still going to, like, get, like, are we going to be fine if it's, but it's also going to be, like, are they just looking for Mulan? Because I think that whole thing takes place in China.
Yeah. Well,
as the myths. The myth tells, yes. Yeah. I totally butchered that sentence. No, yeah, of course. I
as
mean, like,
the myth yeah. Tells.
As they
the
should.
Myth. As the days of our lives.
Yeah. That's the myth tells.
So now they're doing Mulan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We got Beauty and the Beast coming.
Yeah.
We hear about Lion King directed yeah. By Jon Favreau.
Oh, my God. Did you see The Jungle Book?
I heard no, it was good.
Henry wanted to go so bad, and I just couldn't rally.
No, it's fair. I understand. I had to go because another one was sold out. Uh-huh. I can't remember. It was like X-Men time.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, you know, I don't miss an X-Men movie. It's a thing that's a part of me.
Yes. I love X-Men.
Oh, my God.
I love the X-Men movies.
I do, too. I don't know. I watched the cartoon growing up, and then I something about the movie, something about... Everybody loves this movie, but I yeah. Do think one of the greatest movies of all time is X-Men 2.
X-Men
United.
So good.
It's like,
it's
I was thinking
one
it was
I
speaking to me.
Seen. What?
Oh,
Matt?
It's the best one.
I
oh
know. My it's God. So bad. I just, I honestly, can I
You're
tell you what it
is? You're a last stand guy.
Can I tell you what it is?
What?
So when I was little, I went, my cousin had a birthday and he took us and we were all going to go see Well, he had one birthday one year. We all went to go see Corky Romano.
Okay.
And I loved it. I thought it was the best, smartest comedy I've seen in decades.
Sure.
Then the next year, we saw X-Men. And you remember the scene in X-Men when fucking...
Rogue is on the bus.
Rogue no. Stabs someone through the...
She stabs Jean. Maybe.
I don't know. She somehow assumes the power of Wolverine and she stabs.
Oh, yeah,
well,
yeah,
there's
yeah.
Like a very sudden scene where someone gets stabbed through the chest and I just didn't deal with that well as a child. And so like, I got very scared of the X-Men movies and so therefore couldn't see them again. I'm a very anxious
wow.
Watcher of yeah. Things. Like I had to stop watching Breaking Bad after the first episode of season 4 because there was this horrific scene where someone gets their throat mm-hmm. Slit and I was like, this is officially like too scary for me. I can't watch
it. Interesting. You stopped watching Stranger Things because it was too scary for you.
I watched it for 15 seconds.
It's not that scary.
It is.
Oh my God.
There is like the first two episodes are on the scarier side. Then it becomes like a mystery.
Sure.
And then here's the thing though, the scariest part of strength. Like, I don't like anything that has like anything that slithers.
No.
You know
yeah,
what I'm
oh,
saying?
Sure,
mm-mm.
Sure.
No,
you don't like the slithering, the kinesthetic motion of slithering.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's disgusting. But anyway, I feel like that is like you get hints of that early on in
sure.
That show.
Totally.
I wanted to watch it so bad because Winona.
Yeah, she's great.
I live.
You live,
but
I
just couldn't.
I love her.
Brandon, any other cultural moments?
So we know you were a wayward sports child.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And how, I have a question, with tennis, how good did you get and how far did you get?
Yes.
I was ranked in, I never made national. So I quit when I was like 15 and then I was like ranked in the Mid-Atlantic and the state. And
wow.
Like,
that's fucking huge.
Yeah.
Well, regional.
Yeah, I was, yeah, which is cool. And then I was like, I was playing the tournaments to get you to nationals. And then I think it was right around that time when it was just a lot. And was like,
yeah.
It was the only thing I had ever done. And I realized that by the time like I got to high school, like I didn't have friends. And this is like when I was like, in terms of like culture and stuff like that, mm-hmm. Like the things that I like grew up with were like, I Love Lucy, Mary Tyler Moore.
Yes.
And then I grew up with like other like old movies. Like, oh my God, have you ever seen this movie? Auntie Mame?
Of course.
Oh my God. Auntie Mame is
legendary.
Like, it's legendary. It's Rosalind Russell. She's like, outrageous. I thought it was like the best thing in the world. Here's something real though.
Mm-hmm. Here we go.
Wizard of Oz. Like
mm-hmm.
This is like
yeah.
This is like the type of fun I would have as a child.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
I tried to put on, I loved the movie The Wizard of Oz so much.
Uh-huh.
so much that I tried to put on my own production of it.
Ugh.
And I made all of the costumes out of construction paper. When I say made all the costumes, I started to make all the costumes out of construction paper, but I quit halfway through because this dum-dum started with the fucking mayor of Munchkin City. Mm-hmm. And I was like, how many more Munchkins? It took me forever.
This is overwhelming.
Wow. Yeah. And I was going to play all the parts and then my sister was going to play Dorothy.
Yeah.
And then,
that would have been amazing.
That it would have been amazing. An incredible production in my
still
living room.
Still would be amazing.
So, was your sister a performer as a child or were you making her do shit?
I was making her do Same. Shit. Yes, exactly. Right. It's like, it's so much fun to be like a very like, just to make your sister do that.
Yeah,
sisters are good about
and
going
she was
along.
Younger than you.
Yeah, she was younger than me. You have a younger sister.
So basically I have a sister Chelsea who's 3 years younger than me. I just spoke to her today. I'm gonna see her in Orlando in 2 weeks.
Oh, congratulations. I know how much you love it.
I am so happy to go and I'll be talking about it a little bit later.
Okay. Oh yeah, that Tower of Terror.
That's a Disneyland.
That's
drama.
A Disney. Okay, sorry.
But so listen, what I would do to Chelsea is I would dress her up in like her best dress, which is like, I don't know, what dress is good on like a 10-year-old?
I don't know. I think like a tutu and a bathing suit.
Yeah. Okay, no, never mind. She was 4 because it was 1997 and I became obsessed, Brandon, obsessed with Titanic.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my
and
God.
I,
don't even.
By proxy, became obsessed with Kate Winslet and her like hunt for the Oscar that year.
Yes.
Like really, really invested. So I would dress my sister up. Uh-huh. I would call a family meeting and I would get like one of my soccer trophies or one of her like, you know, soccer trophies and I'd give it to her and I'd have her come out and I'd have her give an acceptance speech as Kate Winslet in front of my parents. And when she couldn't do it, I was like, what are you doing? This is the moment you win an Academy Award.
Oh, I know.
And I already valued that at age 7.
Yes. No, I completely agree to that. I really was very, very frustrated sometimes. And Amanda, if you're listening, I'm sorry, but I was frustrated with your commitment as a child.
Wow. See, this is interesting to hear because my sister, older, sort of did the whole older sibling thing where she made me perform stuff, but I just happened to like it too. So then we both just had a blast, like like putting up fake talk shows.
Maybe it's a younger and, like, sibling thing.
Maybe.
Like, I think my sister younger, tried to like it.
Okay.
But she just doesn't enjoy performing.
My sister just like spoon fed me a lot of stuff and like I'm grateful to her for it because I just like got into like playing pretend and like doing all this stuff and then like sort of led me down this funny path now.
What's the age difference?
2 years.
Two years.
And a half years.
Okay.
So it wasn't
and
that
Yang
big.
Is older than Bowen.
Yeah, older than me. She had dreams of becoming a TV journalist. She did not enjoy it after a couple years, and now she is really happy at her current job doing communications.
Great.
So anyway, she just, she was like she was like a gregarious person that I just sort of learned a lot from, and you know
so
what?
So you were both gregarious and had the performer instinct.
Yes, girl.
Yes, God.
Yes, God.
Whereas Brandon and I terrorized younger
sisters
who maybe
sisters.
Just didn't have the gene.
Oh my God, just didn't have,
didn't have the spark.
Yeah.
That's necessary because
you got it or you don't got it.
You got it or you don't. And you know, I can tell. But I like,
I'm
love
7
that.
Years old.
This but Wizard of Oz obsession, though, that's real. I feel like every child has that.
I know. There's nothing unique about it. I think, I was like obsessed with the making of it. And
yes.
I was obsessed with like, I love that I know the woman who was originally cast as the Wicked Witch.
Yes.
Gail Sondergaard.
But then, oh my God, did you see on VHS version of The Wizard of Oz in the 90s that came out? There was a featurette after the movie played of Angela Lansbury talking
I've
about the
that.
Making of it. And it just blew my mind as a kid.
Yeah.
Where she goes into all these vaudeville actors who are like being considered for all these roles and didn't get it.
Buddy Epstein.
Buddy Epstein who inhaled the silver
paint. Yeah, from the Tin Man. And then they gave it to Jack Haley.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's crazy. Like there's a lot of trivia around
the
that.
Drama.
The drama.
Did you
honey.
Ever? Oh, here's something I love though. This is now we're getting into teen years. So
let's do
now
it.
You're
let's
getting
do
a little
it.
Closer to
Come
what
on.
You're seeing right now. did you ever see the made-for-television movie masterpiece? Me and My Shadows, My Life with Judy Garland.
No, but I heard it's the best performance ever committed to film. Judy Davis.
Yes, she's
Meryl Streep said.
Oh my
Judy
God.
Davis in Me and My Shadows is the best performance ever committed to film. Meryl
Who said
Streep
that?
Said that.
Meryl Streep said that.
Damn, when did this
right.
come out?
This is
like 10 years ago.
I'm like, oh.
Longer than longer that. Than
yeah, we're talking like me and my like, two guy best friends in high school driving around in a car silently for like a minute. And then one of us goes, so did anyone of you guys see Me and My Shadows? And everyone's like, yes, we loved it.
Oh my God. Good for you for having those guy friends who also watched.
Oh my God. We all moved to New York City together and we all ended up gay.
I love it.
But,
I love that.
That's great.
The movie is. Outrageous. Tammy Blanchard, also as young Judy, has a great bit where they're telling her to give more eyes. And
oh my God.
Then she's like really going for it. And it is amazing.
Can I tell you what you said that really struck a chord with me is when you were young watching I Love Lucy and like Mary Tyler Moore.
Yeah.
That was the Nick at Night that I grew up with too. Uh-huh. Yep. Like I loved Lucy. I loved Three's Company. I loved like all those older shows.
Yep, yes.
And then like Nick at Night became like Friends.
I know.
It's like also Nick at Night is like Will and Grace now.
I know. Or we did. We get old. Or we get old. But
no,
we
didn't. No, I refuse.
They don't play I Love Lucy anywhere anymore.
No,
they
the kids don't like, know what it is now.
That's I know. So 11 a.m. on like Tuesdays they have like a Lucy block. But I think like
no
I do
watching.
Love it.
It's crazy that people don't know who Lucille Ball is.
I know. Like, it is bizarre. Well, really scary. Yeah. Or like at least don't have like the reference point because it was Thursday. Like every night at 9 p.m. Yeah. was a Lucy episode.
Yeah,
still, you know what still gives me my goddamn life is Vita Vita Benjamin.
Oh my Vita God. Vita Benjamin.
Come Vita, on, bitch! Vita, yes, Vita. Perform comedy.
Vita Vita Benjamin. The grape.
Oh
the,
my God!
The grape stomping episode.
The grapes.
Everything.
Yes. Also the chocolates.
The chocolates.
When the chocolates came down the conveyor belt.
Oh my God! Yes. Oh girl, let me tell you something. Also, unsung hero of that show. Ethel.
Yes, Ethel!
You know what? She's got a great line when Ricky falls into the... they're in Miami, and Ricky falls overboard in a boat, and he falls into the water, and then she comes back up to the surface, and she goes, are you wet?
Great.
And it's just like, you know what? You get it, Vivian Vance.
Vivian Vance.
God bless her.
Oh,
also,
I love her.
God bless anyone named Vivian Vance.
I know.
Such and a good old
the later years, when it was the Lucy show, and it was in color, and then she just... like Lucy
talks like that was the two of them, right?
That was just... Yeah, it was like literally... And they called her Viv.
I could live.
I mean, Lucille Ball on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson doing like her Twilight Years interviews is fascinating.
Oh, yeah.
She's a total diva. It's brilliant.
Did you see the one where she's talking about her latest TV movie where she plays, I think as she describes it, a hobo?
Wait, was that... didn't she do anti-MAME like on stage
she
or something?
She did MAME the movie.
She did MAME the movie. That's okay. Yes. I know. I did not see this hobo.
Oh my God. She's like, I play a hobo. And she's like, oh God, Lucy, you still got it.
The thing is, like, she's so amazing on screen as like a comedian. But the thing is, like, you get the sense that she was like really she had it her whole life. She fucking had it.
Oh my God. Yeah.
She was done. She was clocked.
Well, her and Judy are just like these like. Early tales of Hollywood stardom that I don't know. I always shed a tear for Judy.
Yeah. Oh God, easy. I mean the poor girl was on pills from like early on. They were telling her you couldn't eat. They gave her like little things to put in her nose to turn her nose out. And she powered through.
Yeah.
And they just gave her drugs to keep her alive.
Oh my God, I know. And God bless her. She pumped out another star.
Pumped out another star. Oh my God. Thank
she
God
popped
Liza.
Out Liza.
God bless her. She made Liza.
I know. If that's the cocktail to get Liza Minnelli,
honestly,
sign me up
on.
Right now.
Yeah. No, the real star of that family is Lorna. Lorna loves.
Oh God, Lorna. Have you ever seen Grease 2? Is she in Grease 2?
So on my mod movie. Team, Sarah Grace Wellborn keeps pitching a Lorna Luft sketch.
Oh my God.
So like, do Desi on my team, I guess like, can do Judy and like Anna can do like Liza or something or like, interchangeable. And Sarah Grace is like, I'll be Lorna Luft. Everyone's like, we don't get it.
Oh no,
I want it so bad.
You know what?
It'll be for the three of us.
It will be. I will come sit front row. And here's the thing. And here's if your team choir is the name of it. If choir, Matt sketch team is listening. You don't need to know who Lorna is to still get that.
It's still funny.
It is
not
still
at all.
Very funny. Just to see the family together
to see the family.
Once again.
It's the
revived.
Fact that, it's the fact that you don't know who Lorna Luft is and you don't have a vocabulary around her that makes it funny.
Yes. 100%. And have you seen any videos of Liza and Lorna today and they're talking about their relationship?
Oh,
Oh,
I need that.
They're like sitting there together, and Liza's just like, oh God, I love her.
I love her. She's got pizzazz.
She's got pizzazz. And then like Lorna's like, yeah, we talk. It's like they like it feels very. It feels still like I do feel. I was just thinking about this the other night. I had had a couple wines, and I was doing my usual YouTube crawl through old Hollywood, and I was thinking to myself, watching somebody also, I think probably a mutual friend of ours, had posted one of my favorite clips, which was Liza on a Larry King episode, which is a compilation.
So good.
And she's, and then also Liza on a
QVC.
QVC, uh-huh. Where like people will call it, like my favorite moments are just like, like, Liza, you're just my favorite. I'm so excited to be able to talk to you. She's like, oh, thank you so much. And you know what? It was so great to talk to you, and I'll remember it forever. It's like, it's like, oh, you are on. You are like literally, you know, you can go from being completely off to being completely on. I think that's like the most respectable quality in another human being. That is like, I would love to see you be disinterested in something and then turn on, pretend to be interested.
You know what's going to be a true sight? Is Mariah Carey in 20 years.
Oh, God. Sure.
Like, have you seen her on QVC now?
Oh, yeah.
True
I mean,
now.
She's truly a puddle.
Oh, my God.
That's sad.
The woman's a puddle.
God bless her, though. But, like, I mean, like...
God bless her.
God bless her. But she is, like... What is she doing? What is she doing?
I don't know. Is it drugs? Is it too much drinking? Is it what? Is she just insane?
Talk to Matteo Lane about it. Because, yeah. Like, he's got some ideas
I'm
about
sure
her,
he does.
Mariah.
Future guest Matteo Lane. He'll spill the tea.
Yeah. He... yes.
Well, apparently she also, like... worked with a bunch of UCB people on like a short sketch
for Funny or Die.
For Funny or Die, and like she was kind of a nightmare.
Oh no!
Yeah, she showed up late to set. Like she showed up like 3 hours.
Oh,
late
I think
to
I
set.
Might have heard.
Yeah. My first concert ever, Mariah Carey, Madison Square Garden. Very it was nice. The Rainbow Tour.
Oh, gosh.
And the conceit of the concert was Mariah versus Bianca,
her evil
alter ego,
Heartbreaker.
Was Bianca.
The Heartbreaker,
and,
yeah,
the Heartbreaker video. And that was the whole thing. And I remember, I was like, "Is this every concert? Did every concert have like a story?" And my parents were like, "Yes, every concert has a story."
That's a good.
And I was
concert.
Like, "Really? That's great!" And then, like, of course, and that's the only one that had that kind of narrative. And in the playbill, it was like, "You might see Bianca, it might be Mariah," and it was just like she'd come like looking like Carmen fucking Sandiego. I don't know. It was crazy. And the first words she said when she came out were, "Do you like the ensemble?" And she was dressed as a sailor.
God, it's it.
She performed "Honey."
Honey, you can have me when you want me.
I love that.
I
shit.
Love Mariah. I was listening. I was listening to "Don't You Remember."
You don't like her?
No. Oh my God, a legend to me.
Oh my God.
Like I love Mariah.
Oh, okay.
Like
cool.
Let me tell you. And I really try to fight for Mariah a lot.
Yes. Good. People need.
I can't
this,
anymore. But
no, it's that weariness. What were you going to say? Because I feel like I cut you off.
No,
too.
You didn't. Yeah. I just said I listened to "And You Don't Remember" off her second album, "Emotion." So good. Anyway, but people do need to defend her. Even Matteo is getting tired of defending Mariah, which is huge.
It's like she's, it's like, I, she's making it hard.
She's
and
making
like,
it
and
hard.
And it's like,
well,
here's
she's
the
not
thing.
A human.
I think so. But it's like, have you ever, like, remember her cribs? Mm-hmm. Where like, she was like, you can't go in that room. I'm not showing you this room. And like, they left that part in there. She was like, that's just for me. Is it her cribs or
it
might have just been like,
no,
somebody from like,
been,
like Entertainment Weekly, just being like, or Entertainment Tonight being like, let's see it. But like, there was a moment of just like pure sadness where she's like, you can't go in here. This room is for me. And it had like a piano in it. And it was like, I was like, oh, that's that. What's in there?
Something's important
yes,
in that room.
I know.
And it's she and gets
it was
to
like,
keep
a,
it
was like
herself.
A metaphor.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. Yeah. Sure. That is.
Yeah.
That's a glimpse into something.
I mean, someone that I know that like apparently knows her pretty well recently was like referred to her children as props.
Oh,
and I was like, that is tough.
That's tough. I don't want to. That stuff like makes me so sad.
She's engaged to like some new billionaire.
Well, he's a
nobody.
Billionaire, and it's because she needs money.
I know.
I mean, she's got an expensive lifestyle.
Yeah.
I think she probably. I mean, imagine being Mariah Carey. She's probably used to waking up and paying thousands of dollars to get her makeup done and her clothing and everything like that. But she's not pulling in that kind of money anymore.
Yeah.
She's not that kind of recording artist anymore.
Think, like, I guess. Like, I mean, like, do you think like she's still like? I mean, like her old her classics, her hits and stuff like that. I mean, like, aren't
she
making-
probably makes residual money off quite a bit, and I'm sure she's done
Christmas
a
time.
Lot of money off the Christmas,
Christmas
time.
Oh my God. Did you, you guys remember her "Hey Santa" song?
I think it's great.
I like it, but it's also like, I really like it actually. I'm kidding.
Yeah.
But it's also like an insane song.
It's an insane song. That other song, Santa's Gonna Come and Make You Mine This Christmas.
That's the same
Santa.
One.
Oh, it's the same one.
Santa's Gonna Come and Make You Mine This Christmas.
What is that?
Oh my God, you've got it.
What is that? I don't accept.
Okay. Oh my God, play it.
She released a second Christmas album.
Santa's Gonna Come and Make You Mine This Christmas. It sounds like something
you sound the most like it.
You will love this song. She came out with a Christmas album in 2009, 2010 called Merry Christmas, MC, to her second album, to
Roman
you.
Roman numeral. No, not a Roman numeral. I think it was actually
I think it was just an Arabic numeral to you, letter U, and it has some new Christmas hits, honey. She does a cover of Christmas Time Is Here from Peanuts, from Charlie Brown Christmas.
Yeah.
It's quite good.
She's great.
It's so good.
I love it.
But I love it.
Oh my God.
I gotta say, I mean, I'm just disappointed with what it's become. Because I truly loved her.
Oh my God.
And it makes you feel like, wow, if it can happen to her, it probably will happen to everyone else. Like anyone that gets to that level, like if you think that Beyonce isn't like destined for some craziness.
Yeah.
Sure.
You're wrong.
Oh no. It's like what Beyonce is going to be at like 50 is like probably something that I think might keep me alive for a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
like, I mean, like, I'm talking like, what will the coat look like? What will, like, also, like,
you she'll
know,
be Tina Knowles.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
What will Blue Ivy look like? What will Blue Ivy be
my
like?
My joke that I always do to everyone is like, oh, my God, did you hear Tina Knowles' new single? Like any second now, you're gonna get a single from Tina Knowles.
I support Tina.
It's gonna be like, boom, chee wally wally, chee bang bang, I fuck every man.
Have you listened to the new Solange album?
I have.
Excellent. And the new videos are great.
I do love Solange. I'm behind on that one, guys.
Yeah, oh, it's a good one.
I'm very excited.
Look up the video.
I'm excited that there's new Solange. Yeah,
look up the video for Cranes in the Sky and Don't Touch My Hair.
Cranes in the Sky.
Great, great songs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, God,
beautiful visuals.
Very cool.
I believe it.
I would, like in terms of like craziness, like I would say that like
Solange is insane.
She's also, I mean, like it's
Wacko.
Wacko. Oh,
I love it though.
She had her first album. Very fun. She had her first debut album come out in 2008, which was like a very
Solo Star. It was called.
It was something like
that. It's not a lie. It was called Solo Star.
And then they had her. They interviewed her on some like local morning talk show where the host like casually said Jay-Z. And then, like, they turned it to, and then, like, it was a split screen. Like, Solange was somewhere else. And they were just sort of, like, beaming back and forth. And then, as soon as they cut to Solange, like, welcome, Solange. Thanks so much for being with us. She goes, you said something. You brought up my brother-in-law's name. I do not appreciate that. That is not your business to say. Like, she just completely was so rude to these people. It was
I've actually seen that interview. She doesn't really give a fuck.
It's great.
She really doesn't. And it's so funny because Beyonce gives so many fucks.
Yes.
And Solange doesn't give a single fuck.
My
sister told me I should speak my mind.
There it is. That's the Beyonce lyric.
That's it.
Made me feel so goddamn fine. I'm flawless.
Alright.
I had a Craigslisted roommate.
Come on.
That I'm fucking. I'm just kidding. No, I have a Craigslist roommate, and this is, guys. We're talking. This is 2004.
Okay.
And he moves into me and my best friend's apartment at the time because we cannot afford to pay our 2-bedroom apartment rent. So he moves into my room, and then we rent out the third.
Whoa.
No. The second, excuse me, and it casually drops that. He went to high school with Beyonce.
Oh, in Houston?
Yeah, in Houston. And that has stayed with me because I feel like, and I have to be, I'm confessing this here on this podcast, I didn't ask enough questions.
Yeah, I was going to say, did you pursue that?
Nothing. And like, I was like, because at the time, like, I think Crazy in Love comes out 2003. So it's like Beyonce, and like, I don't even think for a second I wasn't like obsessed with Destiny's Child.
Sure.
But like I was so
I felt like she betrayed I felt like she betrayed. Oh, what were you gonna say?
Well, no, I want to know what you're gonna say.
There was a moment in time in 2004 2003 where I was like, Beyonce betrayed Destiny's Child.
No. You know what?
No.
Bowen, I see you're very staunch. I need to hear both opinions about this, so I'm gonna moderate.
I'll wait.
I'm gonna talk about this.
I'll wait.
Alright. Because I know who the Pence is, I know who the Kane is.
Oh, okay.
I'm just kidding.
Wait, I cut you off, BSJ. What were you gonna say? What were you gonna say about
I'm saying no, I just feel like I didn't I was like it just didn't
registered to me yet. Yes. It was like, I think as soon as Crazy in Love came out, I think I was feeling a lot of the similar same things of like, why did you leave? And also you guys had just like, I think Survivor had just come out, right?
Not long before
not
that.
Not long before that.
And then when they got back together the next year for Lose My Breath.
Yeah.
And for Destiny Fulfilled, their last album, I was like, oh, all is well on the
campus. It felt like it was going to be very simultaneous. Like Beyonce's solo career and Destiny's Child would still stay around.
Right.
Kelly Rowland has some good singles.
I fucking love Kelly Rowland.
Oh my god, I know. Oh my god, do you know that? What's the name of that one with Lil
Kisses
Wayne on it?
Motivation.
Motivation.
Yeah.
Lil Wayne's rap in Motivation
makes you arch your back.
Oh my, yes, baby, my butthole tickles. My butthole be tickling.
Tickle.
It is literally like pools in my butt.
What makes me open up like a store?
Oh my god!
Is Lay It On Me. Lay it on me, baby. Lay it on me. I'll be like Barnes and Noble at 10 a.m. My doors fly right open. Come on in, bitch. Get your Harry Potter.
Oh my god.
For Lay It On Me.
Harry Potter for the 10 a.m. release.
I am full heart emoji right now. I'm literally my eyes are like hearts above you guys right now. You guys are the fucking
Lay It On Me.
Barnes and Noble at 10 a.m. Come get your Harry Potter.
Can I tell you what the best?
Get that on a fucking t-shirt. Merch. Don't you guys post that merch?
Honestly, wait. We should. Last Culture Recess. Even you at home can get a shirt that says, I open up like a Barnes & Noble at 10 a.m.
Come get your Harry Potter.
The only good thing Ginger Mench has ever said. I flood my basement, bitch.
That's a good line.
Wait, is that a line from Drag Race?
From Drag Race.
Yeah, Ginger Minj said...
Which part?
Ginger Minj, she sees...
Season 7, she sees a pit crew member.
She sees the choreographer. She goes, when I saw him, I about flooded my basement.
Oh my God.
I love it.
Yes, Listen, that was another stressful moment that I had on the train right here. I'm not up to date, so I'm
okay.
not...
Don't worry.
I want to let you know.
How behind are you?
Further than I want. So I'm like literally like, oh my god,
don't be ashamed. There's no shame,
guys. Adore Delano.
Oh,
just left.
Okay.
So I thought you were gonna say like you haven't watched season 8.
Okay,
I thought you were gonna say something insane like that.
Haven't watched season 8.
You're a bitch.
I know. Stop. I watched a little bit of it, but I don't have enough to say about it. So I'm just saying flat out that I didn't watch it.
All right,
I was watching here and there, and it's not that I don't love it. I have a fucking night that I'm supposed to go to every Thursday night to watch it, and I just can't make it because.
Come with us tomorrow.
I think I might already have plans. No, I can't tomorrow. I'm going to see Oh Hello tomorrow.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm very excited.
That's going to be really fun. I hear it's really good.
I know. I'm very excited. Yeah. Anyway, where were we?
Is it a musical?
I don't think so.
Okay.
But it very well could be. I don't know. I mean, I do. Oh, that's another thing. You're talking about culture. Ooh.
Musicals.
Love those musicals.
Oh, come on.
Musicals.
I love them so much.
Okay, so can I tell you, when I was younger... we went to go see Hairspray. With the original Broadway cast.
Yeah.
And this was Marissa Jarrett Winoker, Matthew Morrison, and as Amber Von Tussel, Laura Bell Bundy. I tell you who stole the whole gig?
Who?
Laura Bell Bundy. She was giving you like the highest notes you ever heard. And I was in the back fucking row because those seats are hard to get.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, I got my life for her.
She's great.
I know.
Laura Bell Bundy, she's like racist.
Now she fully did a racist character.
Yeah, she plays Chocantel Brown,
who owns a weave shop.
I do not know this. I'm not about Bell Bundy. She has
a side comedy career.
What?
Doing character videos online.
Yeah. And she has a character named Chocantel Brown. Which is literally
so tone deaf.
Ghetto fabulous, white girl. Lives in a Holiday Inn.
No.
Literally, she lives in a Holiday Inn.
It's rough. And listen, I've loved Laura Bell Bundy since the Hairspray soundtrack, since fucking Legally Blonde the musical.
Listen, because someone is a talented singer doesn't mean they're fucking smart at all.
Sure.
No, it's true. You guys want to know the age difference between us? You know, I auditioned for Hairspray the musical.
You did?
But also in an open call, in Baltimore, I cut school and I went down and I
auditioned. Oh my God, were the original Broadway cast?
Mm-hmm. They were doing a nationwide thing. It was just
But they probably went to Baltimore.
They did go to Baltimore to cast. And then I went in and I sang. I had to sing like a doo-wop song or like a 50s song.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Anyway, yeah, did not, did not make it.
It would have been my dream to even do an open call as a kid for anything.
Yeah.
My parents were like, why would you want to go act?
Yeah.
It was, yeah, but that's like,
I was always so scared. I didn't do anything.
Really?
I've talked about this on the show before.
Oh yeah.
So surprising.
You're just so scared.
I'm pretending to be like surprised by all this stuff, but I've like listened to the show.
Just so scared of being gay. Just so scared.
Oh my God. Are you kidding? No, I mean like I can, that's the whole other fucking episode.
I did track.
You did track.
And I went to states and everything like that. I don't think I was at the level that you were at tennis, but like,
I don't know.
I was good. And like, that was what I was known for. And I was like, thank God they know me for being fast and like occasionally like the funny kid in class, and they're not calling me like the gay kid.
Oh man.
Thank God.
See, like I got the gay kid, and like I was like, oh yeah, it was like seventh grade was the worst. And by the time I think I was in like, and yeah. By the time I was like, that's when I wasn't even like, I did like my first play in seventh grade, mm-hmm. but like it wasn't even like, it didn't get bad until I guess like seventh and eighth grade. And then by like 10th or 11th grade, I think I'd like assimilated myself as just like, oh, there he goes. You know what I'm saying? Like still holding on to his like heterosexuality, but like completely like obvious, like teachers could tell, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
I get you.
Know what I'm saying? But I still was like very much holding on to it. But I that bullying side of it stopped. I don't know.
You did get to a place in high school where you did have friends and felt...
Yeah, I think I was, yeah, like my first like I did have like, I had like a child, I had like a childhood best friend, and then I had like friends in like, I guess I had like two like my girlfriends in middle school. Mm-hmm. God, Megan and Anna.
Yeah, we all have Anna. Those. Oh, I'm more named Allie and Rachel.
Yeah.
In high school?
Middle school.
It was Vicky and Jeanette, and Vicky and,
you know, the ones who three-way call bully you.
Yeah. Okay, but Vicky ended up egging my house.
What? Wait, what is happening?
She... Listen, like this all came rushing back to me last week. I was like, oh yeah, this
was Vicky.
It was Vicky, and she denied it. Uh-huh. And then I found her the fuck out. And I think we made up at
the time, because what are you going to do? Throw away your one fucking friend?
Exactly. And now I'm like, and
so
then
powerless.
I remember
being a gay kid in middle school.
I remembered it last week out of nowhere. And I was like, wait, that's awful. And I have this vision seared into my brain of my dad at 2 a.m. hosing down the entire house from all the eggs and the toilet paper.
Oh,
and I was
like,
that's like, that's so fucked up.
It's
that's
traumatic.
That's like a huge deal.
Horrible.
Like, that's awful.
I think I've blocked out. I've blocked out a lot of those things.
Yeah, me too.
I truly, sometimes I'll flashback. Like for example, I remember in ninth grade, I just so happened to be in the one gym period that none of my friends were in.
Uh-huh.
And gym is so hard.
That's very hard.
Gym is bad.
When you're that age and you're gay. Mm-hmm. Like, because your hormones are raging and you're around all the boys and you're in the locker room. And like, I remember just one time, like all the guys in the locker room, like changed at one side of the locker room. And then I was up all the way on the other one.
No.
It was because they wanted to be far away from me. Like I had a disease.
Come on. Oof.
And honestly, that is fucking America.
That's terrible.
That is
that is
America.
Oh jeez. Yeah.
I mean, and now, and it doesn't surprise me now with all this bullshit with what's going on in the country, because we're all fucking racist and homophobic, and like we're not and you can say to your fucking nephew, I support you, but the thing is, like, you don't understand. Like, we've had it really hard, and I'm not gonna say we've had it harder than other people. But you know, it's worth some consideration. I think
the locker room thing is like society writ small.
Yeah. Like when Mike Pence is a fan of conversion therapy, there's something wrong with that. And I think that everyone needs to really confront that right now. There's something really wrong with that. What we're doing to people at that age when we send these messages, there's something really wrong.
Something's not reaching. Yeah.
Something's not reaching. Girls, we've gotten deep into our paths. We have pasts. We have not talked about the theme.
So let me tell you. Gosh, okay, so we do have a loose theme for this episode.
we'll talk about it for like 10 minutes. That's all.
How long have we been doing this? 42. Okay, so we have plenty of time, bitch.
Okay, girl.
We have at
this
least
is a 2-hour podcast. Right?
Let's make it 2 for BSJ, yeah.
Honestly, I'm having the time of my life. Well, you know, the longest episode we've done is Josh Sharp and Eric Jackson.
Yes. Oh,
and it was like 16 hours
a blast.
Long. But the whole time I felt good.
It was great.
I don't mean to put us into a rushed state. I just, you know.
Yeah, well,
I'm
you know what? You really
time.
Need to think about what you're doing.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So, look, the loose theme of this episode, Brandon.
Yes.
Is Oscars. The season begins.
Oh my! Yeah, I'm very excited. And this is it. This is when it starts.
I had a conversation with Brandon Scott Jones recently, where I found out that we were even more connected than I had thought.
Girl, how?
I found out that he enjoys going on the Oscar prognostication websites. He likes to Oscar watch.
I do.
Oscar. And I
you're
do
talking,
it.
Yeah.
I do it all year. I'm talking about Nathaniel Rogers' website, The Film Experience.
I'm talking awardsdaily.com by Sasha Stone.
Oh my God. In contention, Chris Tapley.
Oh my God.
Like, I'm telling you, I'm on these sites and I have been since I was young. And what got you into it? Because I'll tell you what got me into it. I was a really big fan of Lost.
Okay.
And I wanted to find out, like, how Lost was going to do with the Emmys. And that's when I found out about the submission process and the tape system and all that. And I got really into the Emmys. And I think I've been into the Oscars since I was, like, 7 years old with Titanic. But, like, what got you into it? Like what made you interested in that aspect of it?
Oh, it's so interesting. I don't know. I remember, like, being really into, like, I liked movies and I liked knowing what good movies were.
Yes.
And so I think when I, like, realized what the Oscars were and, like, how much my parents liked them, and I was like, oh, what is this about? They were just like, oh, this is for, like, the best movies. I was like, oh, well, then I need to see all of these. You know what I'm saying? Like, being like, yeah, this is it. And so I was like, well, if the Oscars liked them, it was how I, like, knew what good movies were. And so then it sort of was like a reverse process, I think, of like, oh, okay, well, now I'm going to start seeing movies to see which one gets the Oscars, or like start following them. Because I guess like my first like real year into like being into the Oscars was a quiz show. So that was like the movie quiz show for some reason, just like I was into. This is 94.
Wow. Okay.
93, 94.
So like after like, okay. So after Forrest Gump.
So Forrest Gump wins 94.
Yeah.
And then English Patient, then Titanic, and then Shakespeare.
We're getting her into the Sense
anyway,
and Sensibility area.
The Sense and Sensibility is 96.
Okay, yeah.
Because Emma Thompson won for adapted
screenplay.
Yes, I loved it. I was very excited that year. So I remember being like 1997, Titanic
year,
is my definitive favorite Oscars.
Yep.
And it's my favorite one. I had like I'd seen all five. I had seen LA Confidential, I saw Good Will Hunting, I saw Full Monty, I saw Titanic, and I saw
Full Monty.
I know, As Good As It Gets.
And you had an opinion on who should win.
I did have an opinion.
What was your opinion?
My opinion was Good Will Hunting.
Wow.
Okay.
Because I still love it, and a lot of my passwords to my computer. Oh my God, but I can't say
how you like them apples?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, close. Like, it's very examples. Good. A lot of, like, I would say there's like four or five of them, and they're all Good Will Hunting themed. And so that's all I'll give, baby.
Okay.
Because I got some sensitive stuff in that email.
Yes.
Things about my future, things about my past, things about people I love, and things about people I hate, baby.
Oh, honestly, keep it close to the vest, please.
I can't.
Can I tell you?
It's my email. I got to have it. I'm getting a BlackBerry because I don't want anyone breaking in.
I mean,
no, girl.
I was seven that year, and I think I only saw Titanic, and my parents like allowed me to see Titanic, but like closed my eyes during the boob scene.
Oh my God, yes.
And I was like, yes, Titanic all the way. But like looking back, like God damn, is that like a shitty movie?
It's like, yes, in terms, like, okay, when was the last time you watched it?
Recently.
Yeah, it is like a, like,
it's an avatar movie.
Yeah, I like, but here's the thing: I'm in the theater watching. My family saw Titanic in the theaters.
How many times?
Seven times.
No. Wow. Oh my God.
A 3 hour,
so many hours committed.
Minutes.
21 hours.
I know. It is an insane amount. But I left and I started going to other movies.
Yes.
And like, I went to, that's how I saw Good Will Hunting, and that's how I saw
LA Confidential.
How the fuck did you get into LA Confidential?
I saw, I just like walked, because you'd buy the ticket with my family to go see that.
Back
and
then
it
theaters
would be
were different.
Time.
Yeah, yeah.
Did Basinger deserve an Oscar for it?
Back then theaters were different.
I was around. I can say this.
I know. But then I also saw, Boogie Nights.
Oh my God. You saw Boogie Nights as like a young. Oh, wow.
Boogie Nights might be the best movie out of all those.
Oh my God. Boogie Nights is outrageous.
And
like the first hour of Boogie Nights.
Yeah, it was. It was the same year.
Burt Reynolds.
Oh, for Burt Reynolds.
And then also screenplay.
Yeah.
And then also
Julianne Moore.
Julianne Moore.
Julianne Moore was
so good.
Who's so good
as Amber Waves. Oh my God.
That movie is
And
excellent.
I remember Heather Graham won Breakout Star at the MTV Movie Awards for yeah, playing Baby Girl.
Yeah, and Philip Seymour Hoffman won a Razzie. I don't know.
No, he was fucking amazing.
He was amazing in that.
Stupid. Oh my God. Stupid.
And then just him like clutching that clipboard with his pen in his mouth.
So good.
It's such a good movie.
That's evocative. Really, that movie is really fucking good.
It is very, very good.
I remember the next year, I think that, or maybe not the next year, maybe 2 years later. Yes, was when Shakespeare in Love won.
The year
was that 98 or 99? Because American Beauty was one of those
Shakespeare in Love won 98.
American
Beauty
won 99.
And then 99 was American Beauty.
Then 2000
Gladiator.
Then 2001.
A Beautiful Mind.
Okay, then 2002.
No, Chicago was 2003.
Chicago was 2003.
2002.
And then 2003 was... Oh my God.
Million Dollar Baby?
No.
No, 2004.
No, Million Dollar Baby was 2007.
What?
Oh, no, you're right.
No, I think I'm right.
2004 was...
Hold on.
I think it was Million Dollar Baby. I think I'm going to blow you guys away.
2003? No, it's not 2003 Million Dollar Baby. Because, guys...
2003 was the year of Cold Mountain.
2003,
but
yes.
Cold Mountain didn't win Best
no,
Picture.
Cold Mountain,
I know, it was the year of Cold Mountain.
Because
though.
Renee Zellweger won.
Lord of the Rings, Return of the
Lord
King.
Of the Rings, yes, Return of the King. Bitch.
Yes, bitch.
2004 was Million Dollar Baby. I'm willing to bet.
Okay. Yes, it... might have been
2007.
Wait, I'm getting two of them confused
because 2007 was the year of Dreamgirls, which means that something else won.
No, so I won an Oscar contest on awardsdaily.com.
Oh wow!
So no, you can look up the interview.
Did you talk to
on
Sasha?
awardsdaily.com. She interviewed me.
Oh my God!
Just by email. I don't want to go crazy. my interview on this website is, I reread it maybe 2 years ago and I like shivered and I was like, I'm going to bury this. But
no.
Then I also find myself as embarrassed as I am, Bo, as embarrassed as I am, Matt. I bring this up as like my greatest accomplishment.
Oh, absolutely. You should.
All right,
so
I'm about to read off.
Okay,
whether or not we're right or not.
Okay, 2000, so 2005.
I'm gonna hold on. This is like thick. This there's is a the lot Departed. Of years, bitch.
The Departed.
The Departed was one of them. Yes,
was 2007.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
97 was Titanic. 98 Shakespeare in Love. 99 American Beauty. 2000 Gladiator. We were right. 2001 A Beautiful Mind. 2002 Chicago. Yes. 2003, Lord of the Rings, Return of the King. 2004, Million Dollar Baby.
All right, there you
2005,
go.
2005, the biggest tragedy of all time.
Oh, Crash.
Crash.
Oh, yeah. God.
Stupid, that's fucking horrible ass movie. Racist movie.
Terrible.
Not about race, racist.
Terrible. 2006?
The Departed.
Yes.
2007.
The year I won.
No Country for Old Men.
Okay, right. So here's what won it for me, by the way, that year. I need to tell you really quickly.
Okay. It was a spoiler.
Well, it was. I picked
Tilda Swinton.
I picked Tilda and Marianne Cotillard.
Good.
Oh wow.
I double dutch.
You know what? I remember seeing Michael Clayton.
Yo,
and
my
it
God.
Was the first time I ever became aware of Tilda Swinton, and I'm like, well, she was incredible.
She was
in
so
this.
Good. Yeah. That movie is awesome.
The scene at the end when he walks away from her and in the background she just collapses to the floor.
Oh my God.
That was so good. And also the whole scene where in the beginning where she's ironing.
And, oh yeah, and she's in the bathroom and she's like sweating too. Yeah, that's when you first
She
meet
was
her.
Amazing in that.
She's so good.
She's an Oscar
really,
winner.
Really, really, really good.
2007, No Country for Old Men.
2008.
Slumdog Millionaire.
Slumdog Millionaire.
2009 is... Jesus, I'm already forgetting.
The Hurt Locker.
Beat Avatar, famously.
2010, King's Speech.
King's Speech.
Which I fucking hate. I can't.
Bad
again,
movie.
Tragedy
that
it beat Social Network.
Yes. Yeah. Social Network is so good.
Can we list? These are the movies that were in up against King's Speech. It was The King's Speech, 127 Hours, Black Swan,
oh my God.
The Fighter, uh-huh. Inception,
Ooh.
The Kids Are All Right,
mm.
Social
mm.
Network, Toy Story 3, True Grit, and Winter's Bone. And I'm going to go ahead and say that every single movie I just listed is
better than King's Speech. Yeah. Absolutely.
I love Colin Firth.
Me too.
And, you know, I think he gives a great performance.
He's nothing.
What?
He's nothing.
Come on, Matt.
He's not hot.
Let's start. I don't think so, honey, right now. Emergency. I don't think so, honey. I don't think so, honey.
That is nothing.
That is
insane. You are losing your fucking mind.
Do you want to come for me later? Come for me later.
I will.
You don't mean this. You're saying this to hurt people.
You're saying this to be provocative. You're a Milo Yiannopoulos.
Sensationalist Milo Yiannopoulos.
You better call me Milo.
Lucian Piani.
Here. Lucian Piani, bitch. 2011.
Uh-huh. 2011. Oh,
artist?
I know that's
the artist. Ugh. I saw that movie with Nicole Conlon.
It 2012.
Was 2012 was fucking stupid ass Argo.
No, I like Argo.
Don't. It's racist.
It is racist, but
my God, okay. I feel like,
you know what should have won that year? Either Zero Dark Thirty or
Zero Dark was great.
Zero Dark was okay.
Honestly, ZD3.
Weak year. Weak year. Argo, Amor, Beast of the Southern Wild, Django Unchained. No, yeah, thanks.
That was a bad year.
Les Mis.
No.
Life of Pi.
No.
Lincoln. No, thanks. No. Silver Linings Playbook I liked.
I was fine with it, and I remember thinking to myself, you know what? I wish this was the standard for romantic comedies.
Sure, it was a good romantic comedy.
The first time I saw it, I was like, what was that bullshit? And the second time I saw it, I was crying.
Oh, interesting.
And Zero Dark Thirty.
What made you want to see it again?
Yeah.
I wanted to give it another chance because everyone was so emphatic about it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, maybe it was, I wasn't in a good mood. Maybe it was something I missed. And I watched it again, and it really affected me, actually.
Wow.
I love Silver Linings Playbook.
I tired of that.
And actually, it makes me give David O. Russell the benefit of the doubt now.
Ooh.
But I really don't like it.
You finally heart Huckabee.
I actually hate that movie. I love
and
the
he
fighter.
Was the worst in that movie to the actors.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. That was like, I feel like a birth of like a viral video. Totally. Like celebrity voyeur.
I mean, like, it really shook me. I was shook, honey.
Mm-hmm. Then next year was 2013, 12 Years a Slave.
12 Years a Slave, mm-hmm. 2014.
Great movie. Loved it. Couldn't get enough of it.
2014.
No, it is a great movie. No, I don't want you to think of that, but I just like, there's like,
thinking about it's like a popcorn flick.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. Movies that are just like great. They're fantastic. There's so much to sit through in like a way that I'm like, oh my God. Yeah, I'm very clear. My God.
I didn't mean to.
I didn't know, but I just said, no, you did though, and that's okay, and I don't think I will never forget it.
2014 was Birdman.
Oh, I loved it.
I liked Birdman.
Okay. I loved it, Bo.
2015 was Spotlight.
Spotlight
I loved.
I loved it too.
And my parents liked it too.
I wanted Mad Max.
Oh, that's a great movie.
Sure.
Let me tell you, like I said before, I'm scared of a movie like that.
And Max,
we were fucking so
we
high.
Were stoned. But Matt, you didn't know what to expect. And I
didn't
was
know,
like, it's
and
this
literally
new...
I got my life. At that movie, I was screaming, laughing, crying, yearning.
You did none of those
learning
things.
And gasping.
Learning, yearning.
Girl, we saw this at the Times Square AMC, bitch.
No, bitch.
You couldn't,
we saw
you
it
couldn't
in Brooklyn,
even get
bitch.
Your life. No, we didn't, bitch.
What?
We saw it in Times Square AMC, I promise
I
you.
I could swear we saw it at the...
You can't even get your life right now.
Fine. All I know is Charlize gave me everything, and Charlize is my favorite actress. Also, give me some more wine. Yeah. Guys, as we've been doing this, we've been drinking more and more wine. So, listen, this is what I want to talk about.
Okay. Yeah. What have the awards prognostical sites?
So can I tell you what they're saying, which literally blows my mind? Is they're saying this year,
Birth of a Nation,
Emma Stone is definitely going to win an Oscar.
Oh my God!
For a musical called La La Land,
with
Ryan Gosling.
Yes.
I feel like that movie is.
They said undisputable.
That's undisputable. Now, who said that?
Fucking Sasha.
Did she?
She was like, it would be very difficult.
Or is it like, this is what
people are saying? Well, because this is the bullshit around the Oscars in terms of best actress. And this is statistics. And this is just
white rug and red wine, by the way.
This goes to show you what we're dealing with here in terms of Hollywood. The mean age of a best actress Oscar winner is 29. That means that usually...
Girls, you only have a couple years left.
Yeah.
You're talking to us?
Yeah. If we're gonna win Best Actress, we better get to work,
honey. I've got a half decade,
and
left.
I think she's just a little bit younger than 29, so she'd be a little bit young for it. But
no,
like,
she's our age. She's like 25.
Yeah, she's young.
Do you remember her on the Partridge Family reality
yes,
show?
Yes, I do, bitch. No.
Oh my God, you do? You don't remember?
Yes, I do.
The first time I saw her was fucking Zombieland, and I was like, "Who's this?"
That was you didn't see her in Superbad.
Oh, in Superbad too. Yeah, sorry.
I remember seeing her in Superbad and being like, honestly, she's a thing.
I was like, she's
I remember being like, there's something about her.
Yes.
I love Emma Stone. I have a hard time swallowing like Academy Award winner Emma Stone. I just have a hard time with
that. She's good. Like, but I just saw a trailer for that film the other day, and I was like, couldn't.
Looks pretty.
It does look very pretty, but it also looks like a Best Picture nominee that I loathe.
Oh, sure.
Called Moulin
don't
Rouge.
Do it. No, don't you dare.
There you go.
Don't you dare.
Matt, why would you? Why come would me, you bitch. Do this?
How could why you would I do this? Do this? What about Moulin Rouge is bad to you?
Everything.
It's no, his best insane. Movie.
It's whose best
Boss
movie?
Norman's
best it's called movie. Romeo and Juliet because it was written okay. by a master.
You better,
see what I'm saying?
You better here's get the out.
No. I'm not. I will get out. I will walk out of this podcast
no,
right now.
No, don't.
I will walk out of this
so
podcast.
So nice having Brandon Scott Jones.
Oh my God! Thank you so much for having me.
No, there's. I don't get it. Nicole Kidman deserved to win.
She was so
what?
Good.
Are you? Are what? What are we? Where are we? What are we dealing with here? Like, what is like
talent?
Like, excuse me. I'm not talking about the fact that Nicole Kidman is not talented. I think Nicole Kidman is very talented. And you can watch Rabbit Hole. You can watch To Die For.
Rabbit Hole starring Sandra Oh.
Yes, I love Sandra Oh. I think she's great.
Yes.
Rabbit Hole starring Sandra Oh.
I wouldn't say starring, but she's in it.
I wouldn't say starring. Really at all.
But here's
she's starring in that movie as much as she's starring in Princess Diaries.
Sure. I interrupted you.
No, but I'm just saying Nicole Kidman has a lot of talent, and if you feel like it was mostly on display during Moulin Rouge, then I feel like you have
all
questionable
have
judgment
say,
there.
All,
I said
all I have to say God. Is this. I'm getting I'm moving away. Away from you. Away from here. Away from the Moulin Rouge.
She did not deserve the Oscar for fucking The Hours. She was so bad in that movie.
Let me tell you something. The reason she won so an Oscar for The Hours is
because
they felt
bitch.
Bad they didn't give it to her for Moulin Rouge because they gave it to Halle Berry for taking her top off.
Okay.
Halle Berry did not deserve the Academy Award for that Monster's Ball.
Brandon just took off his
take
glasses.
Take your glasses off. I don't care.
Brandon took off his glasses. Here we go.
Okay. I don't care.
No, I feel like you do care, and that the only reason you're screaming, I don't care, is because
how
you knew.
Wonderful.
No, let
me.
That's a good
now
point.
Now you're in the world.
No, it's that. Okay. And now you're in the world. Oh
we
my
all,
God,
we
I did
all
that.
Chose three different wrong
oh
notes.
Oh my God, we did. We
now
all.
Now you're in the world.
Yeah, his. I did this at Joel Kim Booster. If you are listening, you host a show called. I
fuck
hate
movie.
Fuck, that,
fuck
movie.
That movie.
Yeah, fuck that
I
movie.
Hate, I hate that shit.
I hate that shit. Fuck that movie. New title. I hate that shit.
Joel Kim Booster, if you are listening, so you know my feelings about Moulin Rouge
here
because I did my little performance about that.
Okay, okay.
And let me tell you something.
I would have brought a tomato to that show and thrown it right in your fucking
oh
forehead.
Oh my God. Well, guess what? I love Greek
game.
Salad, bitch. And I don't.
I need to hear you. I need to hear you talk about this. This is crazy to me.
No, it is so bad. There's literally. When was the last time you saw it? How old were you?
Probably yesterday.
No, bullshit.
I watch it every day. No, I'll tell you when I last saw it. And I can appreciate it even more as I get older because you know what? It's fun.
No, it's not fun.
I probably saw it last year.
What?
I haven't seen it since
why
I was
13. Why don't you like it?
I will tell you.
Do you find it incoherent?
I find it incoherent. I find it disturbing to look at. I find it very, very. I thought like there's not the musicality of it. If you're going to take these songs and you're going to mash them up like that, that they sound like they literally sound like garbage together. I do not need Smells Like Teen Spirit or and I do not need whatever it's fucking mashed up with to be like together. And it's just awful. And then also Jim Broadbent, like his. Like stupid big scary face just coming up into the screen screaming you like it and like yes exactly and then it's just like and
he
then,
was committed
he was so good
yeah no if you want to see commitment fucking watch oh I don't know Capote I feel like that
Capote
yes oh dude what are you gonna
he
tell
he won the Oscar for Capote
he did win the Oscar for Capote and he deserved it
this is to say that the Oscars always get it right they gave Jennifer Hudson an acting award
yeah. You know she deserved it you do not dispute Jennifer Hudson's
what
Oscar
that what I need.
They say oh my God she's of oh, that movie is problematic but her voice is
she's very good
yeah she's a great voice she's she should great. Win many
she,
Grammys
yes she should okay
not the Academy Award
I'm glad it kept okay. her career going
also I think even though he's playing Lumiere and you know I love you and McGregor I don't think that was
shouting.
The best display of his voice he sounded like
no,
a
he shouts.
French police siren like he literally
yes
he
we
shouts.
Should be lovers
yes it's
he
just
shouts.
Like everything it's like if you break it down and you watch it it
but
is
Brandon.
Like unwatchable Matt
okay I have a question then all right and I think this is worth asking so you and McGregor
yeah.
he's an actor
mm-hmm.
who sings Nicole Kidman, an actress who sings.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't we rather have that than a singer who can barely act in a musical?
Okay, so that...
And I agree that you can find both.
Yeah.
But they have been interested in doing that. So what's the better thing?
Well, okay, I don't know. You're basically saying they haven't been interested in doing both, so like I have to now pick between one or the other. You're absolutely right. Would I take an actor who can sing? Yes, I probably would in terms of a film and probably in terms of a play. Like, there's nothing worse than like a musical if you're gonna like, because it's all of it combined together. But if you look back and you think about like I think about like Shirley MacLaine, right? Mm-hmm. Like Shirley MacLaine is a legit triple threat.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
They don't make him like her anymore.
They don't. And like she's like, or like she's, you know, doing her thing in Sweet Charity, and like all of the people like Rita Moreno and like
Rita.
You know who was the closest thing to that? In recent years, Cheetah. Was probably Catherine Zeta.
Catherine Zeta is really good. She's like full on great
kills
in,
that.
In Chicago. And
kills
she's
it.
She's really, 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 really
and
great.
And Renee's good in that movie, too.
Renee is good in that movie. And John C. Reilly's good in that movie. And
Richard
Gere
is so
good
in that
movie.
He's got a great voice.
I think the thing that.
Give them the old razzle dazzle.
Wait, let Brandon finish his point. My point is that I feel like it depends because, you know, it's studio recordings. Right?
Yeah.
Right. And so you can do whatever you want to him. And I'm not sitting here saying that Ewan McGregor and Nicole Kidman are bad. And I'm not saying that they're like, I'm just saying that for me, the entire composition of that film is underwhelming. And I also think that part of it was my best friends in high school saying to me, you've got to see this. You're not going to believe it. You're going to love it. You're going to love it. You're going to love it. And I walk into the movie theater and I see this and I'm like, is this what you think I am?
Sure.
You think this is me? You think this is what I like? What you think I like? I like substance.
I cried so much.
When she's coughing up blood, one of my least favorite movie tropes.
Oh, sure. That's kind of tired. We have to admit.
TB, that movie trope.
It's not TB. It's coughing up blood. It's like a moment of...
It happens. It's romanticized for a reason. That's the point of the movie.
Okay. I missed the point of the movie. You know what?
All right. Don't apologize.
No, I'm going to.
No?
No, I want everyone to listen to this right now. Matt Rogers bullied me into apologizing.
No.
No.
Well, let's flip the tables then. I mean, we could probably find a movie that I fucking hate that you like.
Okay, let me see.
One of these Oscar movies.
Fucking good taste. One of these Oscar movies. I really loved... did you guys see... this is very hard.
Chocolat?
Chocolat. You know I love Chocolat. I would say, you know, I liked all of the 97th. I mean, I guess, what do you want me to say? Like, I like Slumdog Millionaire.
I like Slumdog.
Yeah, I know.
It was the first time I ever smoked weed was Slumdog Millionaire.
Really?
I was 17 years old, smoked a little bit of weed, went to go see Slumdog Millionaire, was in the movie theater. The scene where they hit the mom with the stick,
no.
I had to go in the bathroom. I had a panic attack.
Oh my God. You know, I quit smoking weed like 8 months ago, and then I had 2 pot cookies. I was in Seattle recently and I had 2 pot cookies, lost my mind, pretended I was Joan Baez for an hour and a half.
What?
And then had such a full-blown panic attack that around like 1 a.m. West Coast time, called my best friend here in New York, which is 4 a.m., and had her talk me down off a fucking ledge. I had lost my mind. That's how out of practice I am on getting high, babies.
For me, it's just like every goddamn day. Now I'm starting to wonder, is it affecting my memory?
Do you feel creative on it, though?
Can I tell you something I've been confronting over the past month?
What?
I don't feel as creative as I used to. I think I'm having an off time.
Does it have to do with, to do with weed or no?
I don't think it does. I think it... Well, for everyone listening, I mean, Bowen and I aren't going to LA anymore. Yeah. That fell through.
Oh yeah.
So like,
thanks for answering my text about that, by the way. I appreciate it.
We did answer it.
I know. I'm saying thank you because I was very concerned.
I thought you were throwing shit.
Oh my God, no.
I'm
going to go home and have a panic attack about like, I hope everyone knows I was joking.
No,
okay.
Well,
because I do respect your
the whole
movies,
LA
Matt
thing.
Rogers, I love you very much. I love you.
Don't. No, my God. No, this is great. This is a historic moment in Las Culturistas. This is one of the highlights
of me apologizing.
No, our fiery Oscar, our Moulin Rouge argument.
Oh, definitely.
Okay.
But anyway, yeah, Bowen and I are not going to LA anymore, et cetera, for a bunch of reasons. It's good.
I feel a malaise.
But yeah, because of that, I feel like something, I gave a lot to wanting that to happen. Not even wanting it to happen. I gave a lot to it happening emotionally, and now that it's not happening, it just feels like whoosh. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, we need to take a second, and I personally feel like I'm not, creating a lot right now, but I do think I'm doing a lot right now.
We planned our lives around 5 months of our lives around it, which it sucks. I mean, it's for the best. This is what I've been telling people. It's for the best, but we sort of have to shift our minds a little bit.
It's all good. And I also, like, to be honest with you, I didn't even really want to go. Like, girl, I love New York. I love New York.
There you go. Okay, Amadeus. Did you hate that?
I never
seen that. That was the year I was born that movie won the Oscar.
84.
Yeah. Ooh. Actually, can we cut that out?
No!
I'm 23.
I was 1990 and the movie was Driving Miss Daisy.
No, yeah. It was Dances with Wolves, bitch.
Dances with Wolves.
Oh, Driving Miss Daisy is 89.
Okay. 91 is...
Oh.
Is it Unforgiven?
Is it Unforgiven?
Let's I think that was 92.
Maybe 92 is Unforgiven. And then 91 is...
One of them is Philadelphia.
No.
No.
No?
Tom Hanks won 93 and 94 for Philadelphia.
Okay, there you go. There you go.
I'm doing all this from memory, guys. And
no, honestly, it's crazy. And I feel the same way. And also, I could do this with the Emmys. I could do this with the fucking Grammys.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Should we talk about more movies that are coming out this
year?
Well,
okay. So let's talk about...
Oh, God. I got us all off track.
Yeah, no, you didn't at all. I'm really excited to see other people. I mean, I hope that Molly Shannon gets nominated for Best Supporting Actress, which is where they're pushing her, I think. I think that would be wonderful.
I don't know anything about that, but I do know that I've seen the movie a few times, and each time she gets me.
She has an effect.
Oh my God. I just, even thinking about the movie, I'm like so wildly, like, just like in love with her performance and Jesse Plemons' performance. It's so good. I just highly, I
cannot wait to see it.
I can't wait to see it.
It's such a wonderful, oh God.
Do you want to talk about the movie? How it was to make it, or?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's very exciting. I don't know. I think it was like, I kind of feel weird talking about it because I was only on set for like one day. But, you know, it's written by Chris Kelly and directed by Chris Kelly. And so it was like super, like, amazing to watch
that happened
to that person. He's a friend of mine, and I was so grateful that he offered me a chance to like be a little part of it. And I would have to say that like that he nailed it. I mean, he just nailed it. And I think I emailed this to, I think maybe Darcy or Carden and or whatever, but like Darcy Carden is also, she's in the movie. Yeah. I get to do a scene with her.
Oh, great.
And I will say in the most like, oh my God, this is so sentimental and so
no,
dumb.
No,
but
please,
I will
please
say that I was at one of the most exciting and proud moments, or not, I don't want to say proud, but like just lovely moments of my life, is that if you would have asked me like when I started doing this stuff, what my dream would be to be in a movie with a friends of mine, and that the fact that a friend of mine directed this incredible movie, like amazing thing, and then I got to be on screen with one of my best friends as well. Like just for even like 2 seconds you could say goodbye right now, and I'd be like, all right, God. I got it. You know what I'm saying?
And like, that is a really
in terms
nice,
of like my
yes. And I think that I don't even know Chris, but I do feel like proud of him. You know, like I feel like, you know, this is somebody who's like, oh, this is crazy. I watched his like It Gets Better.
Yes.
He had and really like it one. Helped me.
Well, I remember,
you know what I mean?
I remember like, the days where he was at the Onion and our friend David was working with him, and it's like he's come all this way. It's
just so exciting. And then to see everyone up there in this movie, and also the movie just be about something real, and it not just be, you know, it's not just any other comedy. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's not. It's a really real movie, and
there's a lot of truth to it. Yeah.
Like the scenes in the film are like he's. I don't know how he did it, but obviously he's very talented, so that's how. But like, I don't know how he did it, but he got this perfect balance between something very genuine and something very raw and very difficult to look at, to watch, to intake, and then just blended it with like just like rhythmically perfectly. The comedy and in certain moments, and that he chose to use comedians to be like Molly Shannon as like this main character, and she is out of this world.
We
good.
Need to see more of that. I think we need to see more of people taking risks with casting, because how cool is it to see Molly Shannon turn out a great dramatic performance?
Yeah.
And you know, there's so many people like that are capable of that. Remember Maya Rudolph in Away We Go?
Oh, she's great.
She's great.
So good in it. She's got that monologue at the end.
Yeah.
Oh,
I like that movie.
So good.
So awesome.
John Krasinski.
And you know, even like Amy Poehler and Tina Fey, in their work, they have these kind of moments of like pathos where you're like, yeah, there might be something else there.
Yeah, there always is.
And you know, Jim Carrey's dramatic work and
Eternal
you know,
Sunshine.
Robin Williams' dramatic work, yeah. And Whoopi Goldberg's dramatic work. Like, it's just like there's something about comedians.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
There's something about comedians. There's something about comedians. No, but it's very true that like it is fun to watch, I think, people, I don't know if it's a predisposition from watch. Is that the right word? Yeah. Like when you're watching them, you have a predisposition about that, where you're like, oh, they're going to make me laugh. They're going to make me laugh.
Or a
like,
preconceived wait a notion.
Preconceived notion. That's what it is. Excuse me.
No, whatever.
And you're like, I don't know if they're going to like make me laugh. They're going to like make me laugh. I'm waiting for it. And it doesn't happen, or something slightly off happens. Mm-hmm. And like, have you ever seen like, he like made Year of the Dog, and he made
I know who you're talking about.
Mike. Oh God, he co-created. Oh my God, I'm blinking on all of his stuff now. I'm so sorry.
What?
Mike Leigh.
Mike Leigh.
Mike Leigh is great. I do like Mike Leigh movies. Mm-hmm. You ever seen Happy Go Lucky? That's a great one. What's his? It was the TV show with Laura Dern.
Enlightened.
Mike White.
God damn Mike it. White. Why? I was like, I couldn't remember.
Mike White also did School of Rock.
And like, The Good Girl. Like, he has got like really like his films are have like that sort of like nice balance. But then I think he does a good job of like casting like comedians. Like Jack Black in like School of Rock is great performance.
Great.
Also,
Sarah's
great performance in School of Rock is Michael Hartney when I saw him
Michael
do it.
Hartney
on
Broadway.
You should all go see School of Rock.
Yeah.
So if I had to say something I'm looking forward to for the Oscar season this year, I guess, you know, the trailer came out today with Natalie Portman as Jackie Kennedy. I think that's going to be exciting. It's like such a trophy grab, but I'm going to go.
It's baiting.
Yeah,
it's
very baity. Let's all go right now.
Let's go right now.
And also, we got a couple big sci-fi movies out this year.
Ooh.
And the one I'm really excited about is Arrival.
Yes.
With Amy Adams, who I live for.
Yes.
I live for Amy Adams.
Drop Dead Gorgeous?
Yeah, come on.
Drop Dead Gorgeous. She that was her first movie.
I know, and she crushed it.
And that was her first movie, and then she didn't work for like several years, and I remember seeing her again in like Junebug and all these things, and I'm like,
Junebug, she's so good at
Junebug.
And
I was like, oh yeah, Amy Adams. And they were like, what do you mean? Oh yeah, Amy Adams. I'm like, what? She hasn't been a thing? And then I realized, no, she hadn't worked in years.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
But then Junebug and Enchanted, and ever since then, it's been huge, and I just think she's one of the best.
Yeah, she's a real bee's knees for me. I love her very much. I think I love Emily Blunt.
I
love her.
I think Emily Blunt is amazing.
Yes, I think she's so good. She's the best part of Into the Woods, I would say.
I agree
100%. And I'm, you know, did you read the book The Girl on the Train?
No, but I hear it's great. I want to read it because you and I both like Gone Girl.
No, yeah. Gone Girl's not too scary for you?
Yeah, Gone Girl.
I read the book before I watched the movie, and I skipped the scene where Neil Patrick Harris gets killed.
Oh, that's a great moment. Spoiler alert.
I'm terribly afraid of the book.
The book is, I mean, I devoured it. It was just like nice and easy. I'm ready to go.
There's no wine.
Oh my God.
Oh,
it was,
okay.
I know.
Okay, a little sprinkle of wine. All right. And then also I'm excited about, I guess, we'll see, Passengers with Jennifer Lawrence and Chris Pratt.
Oh, sure. Well,
I love the premise of that movie.
Our producer Joe is shaking his goddamn head.
You want to get involved? Okay,
he's always involved. No,
he's always involved.
You're never involved enough.
One day we'll interview Joe.
Yeah,
we'll find out all the tea.
I think that would be a good. That's a nice good fan episode.
I'm such a sucker for like that sci-fi big.
Me
movie
too.
Year. Like I loved Inception.
Mm-hmm.
Inception.
I liked it.
Yeah.
I
get that. Did you like what the other one was? The Interstellar.
I really didn't like Interstellar, mm-hmm. And I just thought it was just too much. Like, I didn't really get what it was going for.
It was
and
stressful.
It got too confusing for its own good.
It was stressful.
Also, the sound mixing was really bad. I couldn't hear anything.
I think that's intentional.
Could have been the theater I was at. Also could have been intentional. But the whole last monologue that Ellen Burstyn gives, I couldn't hear a word of it. And I was like, maybe it was poignant, but I'll never know.
Yeah,
and I really enjoy Christopher Nolan. I love The Dark Knight.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
And I love The Dark Knight Rises.
Sure. Oh, Anne Hathaway.
I thought she was amazing.
Best part of the movie.
Yeah.
I love thoughts on Anne Hathaway. Before we end this conversation, thoughts on Anne Hathaway.
Okay. Rather than talk about it, I'm going to make a noise. Okay?
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Ah! What's your noise for Anne Hathaway, Bowen?
Hey. Which is like, hey, don't knock Anne Hathaway.
I'm not knocking Anne Hathaway with the uh-huh.
Sure, 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 sure.
Here's my noise for Anne Hathaway.
Mm. Oh, oh, my God. That is an intense noise for Anne Hathaway.
Mm.
She just is like comfort food to me.
She is. I mean,
she
listen,
always gives you. Yeah. She brings it to every ball, and you know what? Haters can hate.
She's consistent. No, I agree. I think haters can hate, but at the same time, like, she is consistent.
Yeah,
and she's talented. She can sing. She can. She could be. I think she's a technical triple threat.
Brandon, here's what you need to do.
Okay, yes, sir.
You need to listen to the Barbra Streisand new album, Horrors of the Movies, and listen to At the Ballet.
Oh yeah, I've listened to it. Oh.
Anne Hathaway, Daisy Ridley, and Barbra Streisand. And so Anne Hathaway then, Maggie, do you want to dance? And I said, Daddy, I'd love to. Giving you musical theater.
Yes. Oh, please. Also, do you like the little lyric changes that Barbra makes throughout?
No.
And anything you can do, I can do better.
Oh, my God.
Gee, I really need this job.
Like, come on, girls.
Oh, come on.
I do live for that shit, though. Like,
sure.
But, like, it is like...
Sudi and I saw her in concert.
Oh, my God.
She served her life.
At Barclays?
Yes.
Oh, okay. God,
I love Barbra.
It's the thing is that, like, it's just... It's the best culture.
You know who's severely underrated now?
Who?
Bet.
Oh, yeah.
Bet
she's coming back, baby.
Midler. I went back and listened to her old stuff when she sang, like, really, like... Like ballroomy jazzy stuff,
yeah.
and like
amazing
the
80s, singer,
such a good singer.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I love.
Like you're talking like 70s, 80s.
Like,
Bet?
Do you want to dance?
Yeah,
like such good music. I love her.
She was like a huge. I mean, like she was like I don't even know what she how to describe her because she like wasn't an actress. She wasn't exclusively a singer. You know what
right.
I'm saying? She was all these things.
Right, right, right.
But like I think
she's a performer.
She was just like a performer.
And her breakout movie was The Rose, where she played a rock star who ended up. Like with a drug problem, and she was kind of like, it was kind of very
great
reminiscent
song
of like
came out of that.
Yeah,
too.
Janis Joplin's life story was very reminiscent of that, and that was she was nominated for an Oscar, and that started her career. But that's very much like why everyone was like paying attention to
this
her,
one,
and then she kind of became like the Bette Midler kind of vaudevillian movie star.
Yeah. I love it though.
Throws love it.
Annual Halloween party.
Oh, so huge. I mean, Hocus Pocus changed my life.
Oh, yeah.
Just seeing her, I was like, who is this?
That movie is
I think
a movie
Hocus
that
Pocus might have been actually, I would have wagered to guess that Hocus Pocus is very formative in one Lady Gaga's life.
Oh, sure.
Oh,
sure,
that'd be interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if she's like, how old is she? How old is
she? Like 20? She's
30.
She's 30.
Yeah.
30.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. I would say that's like, that movie came out in, remember, I'm going to do it, 1993.
Great.
Yeah, there you go. Michelle Trachtenberg.
Trachtenberg.
Trachtenberg was in Hocus Pocus?
Yes.
And
I don't think
and
what's
she,
her face?
She was.
There was that other actress.
Oh, Matt, don't even. Go ahead.
No, there was that other actress. What's her name?
Gliba Sunda.
Not shut up.
I like to make
Farrah. No.
No, she was also in.
I don't know what the fuck you guys are talking about. Michelle Trachtenberg.
It's Michelle Trachtenberg.
No, it's not. It's what's her name? It's from. No, it's not Michelle Trachtenberg.
It's,
oh my God!
Not at all.
It's not. You're absolutely right. Oh my God! I'm getting the names mixed up. It's the lovely lady from American Beauty.
Thora Birch.
Thora Birch.
Yeah. Thora Birch.
Oh my God! I can't believe I was so fucking indignant. Can you please edit that
They're
one?
They're easily
no.
confused.
All right, guys. Oh my God. We've had this discussion for a long time. It's time to move into the centerpiece of our show. It's time. For
I don't think so, honey.
Oh now, as we know, I Don't Think So, Honey is the moment of everyone's week when they tune in. They all wait for I Don't Think So, Honey, and here it is. We have 60 seconds to rail against anything in culture that's making you mad, and you know what? Maybe it gets real. Maybe it gets silly. Maybe it's prepared. Maybe it's not, but you know what? Here it comes, and Bowen, I think, is
no.
going to be first.
Oh, I always go first. You go first this time.
I don't know if you want to hear what I have to say. All right, fine.
Here we go.
I'll go first.
Oh my God, I'm really nervous about.
Don't be nervous.
I'm be listening to yours and then not thinking about
this
mine.
This is going
to
cause some waves.
Here's the thing.
I have nothing prepared for this
okay.
week. Okay,
ready?
Here we go.
Okay.
I don't think so, honey. Matt Rogers' time starts now.
I don't think so, honey. Split cider. You guys came for my friends, Rachel Winitsky and Ned Reisley today, and they released an amazing video, and you released a fucking bullshit article about it, and you should retract it. It should be edited, or it should be apologized for. And I'm serious. Because what you did is you posted a video, and what you should have done is you should have drawn attention to a great piece of musical comedy. Everyone should look up Friends Who Folk and enjoy it. But what you did was you were like, oh, the harmonies in this are bullshit and grating. Think about what the word grating means when you put up something that's sung by a woman and a gay man. That's all I'm going to say about that. Split Cider, I'm not happy about this. I don't think so, honey. I think that you tried to be funny when it's your job to comment on the funny. Okay? So I think that Split Cider should retract this article by Luke Kelly Klein. And I think that you need to let it go. I don't think so, honey.
That's 1 minute. Oh my God, the most
fearless,
the most incendiary. I don't think so, honey.
I know, my God. I feel, and he's posing.
And he's posing. Look at him. I'm going to take a picture of this.
Don't come for my friends.
No.
Don't come for your friends. I need to take a picture of Matt's pose right now.
That is insane. And I'm for the fans, please
post. Wow, wow. Okay.
Oh my God.
Wow. I'm going to post this later. This is huge.
And I know the writer out of that article, and I expect better.
Oh.
So I don't know why you're bitter.
Oh my God.
And I didn't know. Read I think this. I think it's just really easy to come for people that actually create stuff.
Look, okay. The
I did not read.
I'm upset. I'm pissed.
No, it's okay. I'm not trying to invalidate.
Go ahead. I want everyone to read it. I posted it today. Bone posted it today. Rachel Winitsky posted it today. David Sidorov, the director who deserves a lot more respect than that, posted it today. It was bullshit.
And you know what?
If you enjoy something you want to talk about and you want to post it, then put it up. Don't give me some side commentary about how the harmonies are grating. You couldn't hold a harmony for your God. Damn life.
Oh, girl. Okay,
It sounds good. It's so funny. How dare you?
I sent Split Cider, just the editor-in-chief, an email today. I was like, hi. I was glad to see that this got some coverage, and I was glad that this got a write-up, but look, like, the way this was written was very naggy. It was very like, wow, I did, you know, you don't want to watch this past the 30-second mark, but once you do, it's worth it. I'm not going to give too much away, but it's one of the funniest things I've seen in a long time.
The first line of the article is, God, the harmonies in this are grating. I mean, really bad. I guess it's like Rachel Winitsky and Ned Reisley have good voices and all, but .. It's like, shut up. What's the point of this?
Wait,
it goes on to like give some vague superlative thing and then
but you should definitely keep watching it, seriously. Even though first 30 seconds are bullshit, you should keep watching it. The first 30 seconds are not bullshit. You're bullshit. Your article is bullshit, and I'm really insulted by it.
This is real.
And I know it is real.
Yeah, it feels
and
real.
I'm serious. This is stupid. And this is like, comment culture's now gone to this place now where none of us even fucking know each other, but we're all tearing each other down. And this is like fellow comedians and people trying to do their thing. And you're not a critic, dude.
Wow.
Oh, I guess that's like the point then. Like, if you're not, yeah, I guess I was going
to
say.
He's not a critic. And it's like, it's not your job to critique. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like, this is a review of this piece. It was like you posting it willingly, and it's like they put a lot of work into that. A lot of work goes into musical comedy. You should know because your group back in the day tried to half do it.
Presuming.
I'm sorry, but like this, it was bullshit, and I really don't appreciate
it. Okay, all right. Well, I guess I'll go. I really don't have anything prepared, and it will not be nearly as incendiary.
That's why I didn't want to go first.
Oh my gosh.
Oh no.
I don't care. I fully stand behind what I said.
Yes, of course. I'm glad you said that.
Because Rachel Winitsky is one of the most brilliant people I know.
She's brilliant.
And she's an amazing writer, an incredible singer, and a really great comedian. And for anyone to come out there and preface her by saying, wow, her voice is grating, fuck you.
Terrible.
And you lost my respect.
Okay. Here we go. I think I'm ready.
Sorry, Brandon.
No. I'm going to change my I don't think so.
No, don't change it.
No, I'm just kidding.
Okay, here we go. Are you going to time me?
Yeah, sorry. I'm a little...
No, you are...
This is
Bowen Yang.
I don't think so. I don't know how Joel feels about what I just did. Go.
I don't think so, honey. Undecided voters in Pennsylvania who talk back at me while I'm phone banking for Hillary motherfucking Rodham Clinton. You want to come at me and say, well, I don't, just hang up the phone. I would rather you hang up the phone, even scream at me if you want to, but do not troll me while I'm calling you to see, trying to gauge who you're going to support in November. But you say, well, who do you think is going to win? I called this man up. I said, hello, is this person here at home? And the person who answered said, no, this is his father. He was incarcerated because he got into a domestic dispute with his girlfriend, and I don't support, and I think she's lying. And I was like, well, I don't want to get into this with you. And then he asked me who I thought was going to win, and I go, well, I'm calling from the Hillary Clinton campaign. Who do you think I think is going to win? And I said, Hillary Clinton. And he said, well, I'm voting for Hillary, but Donald Trump is my man. And I quote, he said, Donald Trump has got the popular vote on lock. And I laughed. I laughed across the receiver. I laughed across the line. Honey, you are not a worthy voter for this Democratic tenet. I don't think so, honey. I don't think so.
1 minute and 7 seconds. Bonus.
So you call and announce yourself as somebody calling from the Hillary Clinton campaign.
Yes.
And then he asks you who you think's going to win.
And I said, well, I think Hillary, if the polls are indicating anything. And he goes, nope, see, I think Donald Trump is connecting with people.
And he said, I'm going to vote for Hillary, but Donald is my man.
Yes, it made no sense.
That made no sense.
Speaking of negging, he was negging me, and I was like,
I can't deal with dumb people anymore. And I can't.
And he, and then
I just can't.
And before I got off the phone with him, he was like, yeah, well, I'm sorry you couldn't reach my son, but, you know, this domestic bullshit, it sucks. Like, it's a woman's word over his now. And I'm like, I don't want to talk about this with you. Oh, my God. It was so uncomfortable. I've been having...
That's why I'm voting for Jill Stein.
Oh, good. Thank God.
Thank God.
I was having...
Could you imagine?
I who knows anymore?
I couldn't imagine because it's all too real.
Oh, my God. I guess we don't know each other politically that well, but like... Come on.
No. There's no way.
No,
you know I'm making the right...
No, I know you would make the right decision. Okay. BSJ, these have been heavy, I don't think so, honeys. But I think you can bring us back.
You better
up.
Come hard, BSJ.
Mine's going to be niche, probably. Now, I mean,
no.
Like,
no.
I think of. No.
You, this
it's
is a
not
going to
be
podcast.
Very enjoyable. Okay. Well, this is technically culture, but.
Here we go. Are you ready? Yeah. I don't think so, honey. Brandon Scott Jones. Okay. Time starts now.
Okay. I don't think so, honey. City of Toronto and your bullshit baseball team, the Toronto Blue Jays. All right. This is called the Major League Baseball. And it's America's pastime. It is not Canada's pastime. And just because you think that you are the wild card winners of last night's game between the Toronto Blue Jays and the Baltimore Orioles makes you a better team. It does not, honey. I don't think so, honey. You have nasty fans. You have loud fans. You have fans. And first of all, I want to make it very clear. I love Canada. But Toronto, you ain't no Montreal. You know it. You know it. I don't think so, honey. You are not a Montreal. Poutine does not come from Toronto. All right. Second of all, okay? I need to get this out there. You do not throw a can of beer at a baseball player on the field. I don't care whether or not they're from your city or they're not from your city, but let me tell you something. I'm fine if Trump wins and he cuts you guys up because I'm that pissed at you. Just kidding. Vote Hillary Clinton. I don't think so, honey. Trump is a piece of shit. Hillary's the way to go. It's hard to say I don't think so, honey, when you want to make a point about somebody you like. Okay, goodbye. I don't think so, honey.
Beautiful.
That was amazing.
That was our first athletic. I don't think I was Major League Baseball. I don't think so, honey.
And you had a whole episode about sports.
We did. And then we just abandoned it and probably talked about fucking RuPaul.
We have some Toronto stories for you. Matt and I were in Toronto for the Toronto Sketch Festival in 2015.
Oh, yes.
We got up one morning. We decided to go to a local brunch spot. There was a line outside, a short line, but then I decided to do the sensible thing and walk inside the restaurant and ask the hostess how long the wait was. Mm-hmm. Does that sound normal to you guys?
Yes.
Yeah.
Great. As soon as I walk past the threshold of the door, this fucking sandbag human piece of shit motherfucker dude stops me and goes, hey, what do you think you're doing? I go, I'm walking into the restaurant to ask how long the wait is.
Yeah.
Because I see you standing in line and with your trifling ass. I didn't say this to him.
Trifling ass.
Trifling ass. Trifling and the way things work around here is you wait in the back of the line. And he
I gotta tell you, this person was.
I was there.
No, but you and Sudi were on your way. It was me, Rachel, and Doug who were waiting. And so, and then, oh my God. And I turned to him and I go, thank you so much for your help. And then Rachel Winitsky, speaking of, God bless her, goes, wow, people, she goes, wow, people in Canada are so nice, aren't they? And then we walked to the back of the line because he refused to let us inside the restaurant. It was a fiasco, and he was by far the rudest human being I've ever met in my life. Anyway, Toronto, I don't think so, honey. As a Canadian citizen, I get to say this.
Yes, I realized that midway through.
No, that's okay.
And I want to just make sure that you know that I do love that country.
Yes.
I'm sure Toronto has fine parts, but I don't think so, honey.
I don't think so, honey, Toronto. And Toronto, listen, you ain't no Montreal. You ain't no fucking Chicago, bitch.
Yeah.
Don't try to be that Great Lakes Midwestern city.
When I drove up to Toronto, I thought it was going to be good, bitch. A good skyline, everything. I went in there, nothing. Not nothing like Chicago. Not nowhere as clean. Not nowhere as good people. Not nothing as good food. Not nothing. Not even as tall a building.
You know what they don't have in Toronto?
What?
Culture.
Culture,
there's
honey.
There's no fucking culture they there. You want culture, learn it. Get your French on. Go to Montreal because it's beautiful. I don't care if they have a big cross on a mountain. I fucking love that place.
Toronto might have a second city, but it ain't shit.
No, exactly.
Toronto is the second city. Second to none. I mean,
that's pretty good.
All right, we've had wine. Guys, this has been the Lost Culturistas podcast. I have to say, this has been one of my favorite
episodes. This has been one of my favorite episodes.
Oh, Brandon's
fine. Have me back after the Oscars for our little wrap up.
Future
repeat. See if our predictions came true.
Yes.
Future repeat guest. I mean, this is just too good. Brandon, I love you.
Love you.
You guys. Oh my God. You guys, this is, I love this podcast. Everybody out there, if you're listening now, keep listening.
We encourage you to keep listening.
Hey guys, and also Blue Apron. Blue Apron is one of my favorite new websites because not only do I get delicious meals, I get an affordable, budgeted system of food in my life.
Guys. And don't forget to subscribe on iTunes.
Goodbye.
No, I'm Bowen Yang.
I'm Matt Rogers.
Bye.
Aiko ande. Jagamo fino anane, Jagamo finane.
Forever Dog. This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Joe Cilio, Alex Ramsey, and Brett Boehm. For more podcasts, please visit ForeverDogProductions.com.